Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here today. It is April 28th, 9 a.m., Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors. If I could have everybody please stand for the pledge and then remain standing after the pledge when Marvin Jacobo will do the invocation.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please pray with me. Master, first of all, thank you again for giving us a privilege to gather in this place to work with government of the people and for the people, by the people. Thank you, Master, for the privilege you give us to be a part of Stanislaus County, which is a great place to grow up in and to grow old in. We pray this morning for decision makers first around the country as they have to continue to deal with some unrest, some other issues. Give them wisdom, Master. May there be peace in neighborhoods. We ask for our men here this morning that they would discern the steps to take to continue to grow trust in our own neighborhoods as well. We've got water issues, Lord, that need long-term equitable solutions. Give them the courage to shape consensus rather than just find it, to make the best decisions for the least of our citizens, knowing, Master, that they represent all of us. And then I do pray, Lord, that we would be a model of what it means to hold public meetings in mutual respect and mutual civility, knowing that mutual respect and mutual civility must first start in a small room modeled by us before it can be spread out into our community. Amen.
Thank you. Marvin, thank you very much. Once again, I appreciate you, everything you do. Thanks for being here. Okay, so we will start off with a presentation proclaiming May 1st through the 4th as the American Cancer Society's time to paint the county purple to heighten cancer awareness. Donna Stevens.
Good morning.
Hi, Donna.
I am this year's Modesto Relay for Life event lead. We're here today. Our Paint the County Purple is a way to get the community involved in celebrating, preparing for our upcoming county relays that start, they've already started, but we have quite a few in our county coming up in May. Paint the Town Purple, we go out to different businesses. J Street is one of them that is gonna just decorate their buildings, their offices. Residents can go out and decorate purple for the weekend. This kicks off relay, and it also kicks off the Modesto Survivor Luncheon, which we are holding this Sunday at 1 o'clock down at the hangar. Those of you who are familiar with Relay, it's a 24-hour event held at Johansson May 16th, May 17th. For the community, we have a lot of fun activities. We celebrate our survivors, remember those who've lost their fight, and we just come together as a community and just take the time and be with each other during this event.
Very good. Any questions of Donna? Come on up here, we have a proclamation for you here.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I got it. Very good. Okay, we need to stand. Mr. Jones wants us always to be right here in front of the symbol. So on behalf of the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors, we're proclaiming this. As we said, this is a proclamation for May 1st through the 4th, a time to paint Stanislaus County purple. So we appreciate everything you're doing. This is great stuff, and we hope it's a very successful, everything goes good. So thank you very much. Anything else you want to say?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. It is time now for public comment. Anything that is not on the agenda that someone would like to talk about? 5 minutes. We have one card here, one, and it is Catherine Borges. Hi, Catherine. How are you?
Good. How are you? Good morning, gentlemen. Morning, Supervisor Withrow. So I'm here today with a very fun task because my associates on Salida Mac had to work, so they weren't able to be here today. So on April 18th, which I wasn't here for it because I was out of town on a work meeting, we had Love Salida. And when I returned, my son said, he said, "Mom, I don't know what's going on, but Salida is crawling with sheriffs." And I said, "Fantastic." And we know that the sheriff presence has been upped in Salida. And as part of Love Salida, we had a project where we put together care packages for all emergency personnel, fire, sheriff, and CHP. And the Girl Scouts made these wonderful posters for us to present to Sheriff Christensen. So if Sheriff Christensen could please come up. It's really cute. This one is from the older troop, and this one's a younger troop. And in over here on the little star, it says, "You save Salida." So thank you very much.
We have to make a deck out right
there. I'll hold that up. Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
So that was all I had, and
pretty
thank
good.
You very much.
Thanks. Thanks, Catherine. I'm sure it's nice. Adam probably doesn't get posters made for him very often here. Okay, we're going to move on to consent calendar. Is there...
Still more public.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, Emerson, I'm sorry. Okay.
See if I can make it up before they flip the light.
No.
Emerson Drake, longtime Modesto resident. As you're aware, and I'd like to make everybody aware, I think we've got some issues going on in this county. One of them's with the Stanislaus County Workforce Alliance, unfortunately. You know, I was recently talking to a hotelier, and he was complaining that he was having difficulty hiring people, finding people to hire, let's put it that way. Now, these are admittedly entry-level jobs, but these are the same jobs that Modesto's providing a bonus for employers to bring downtown. Now, you would think if you went to the Workforce Alliance, you go to their website, and it'd say, there would be a button there to assist you in finding people. Believe it or not, there's not. It doesn't even suggest to you who you should talk to. So I thought, I told this guy, this is the easy way to do it. I'll take the steps for him. So I called down there. I was given a number. Eugene Garcia, I believe, was the individual. He wasn't there. I left a message. So I waited for a call back and didn't get it. So I turned around and, yeah, I wrote a story because I thought we should get a little bit more cooperation after all. I believe you donate $94,000 of taxpayers' money. The city of Modesto donates $63,000. I'll be close. I'm not going to be exactly accurate, but within the ballpark. They usually tap the MID for another $20,000 to $10,000. They, unfortunately, for the alliance, fortunately for the ratepayers, decided to turn them down this time around. I wish we could talk you into it. No offense. But I thought, you know, this just isn't right. So I contacted the board. I talked to a couple of your secretaries. Supervisor Monteith responded. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. He was going to try to facilitate, get them to give me a call back. Well, you know, unfortunately, that didn't happen. So I turned around and I called them. And, you know, both times when I talked to first the secretary and then finally to Mr. Garcia, I was told, you know, we're working on the website. I said, well, how long have you had this website? Well, a few years. And you don't have an easy way for the public employers to contact you to find jobs? After all, aren't you supposed to be bringing jobs to this county? And, you know, you go to the website. You see all the people that they've hired. You see all the wonderful members of the board. Many of them, quite honestly, belong to organizations that have brought money to the board. But that's beside the point. I think it would be nice if they would be more responsive. Now, I admit, I'm not a business owner. But this guy is trying to hire about a half a dozen people, and he does it on a regular basis. He's using Craigslist, and he's having trouble getting quality applicants. But when it comes to reaching out to find out how do you contact the unemployment office or the Workforce Alliance, which basically kind of runs it, again, just euphemisms, there's no easy way. There is no easy way. You would think, again, you pick up the phone or you touch a button, you get the answer. It's not there. All this money, it seems like all they're doing is a professional nonprofit fundraising organization that justifies their existence. Now, I sat through their presentation with MID. They take credit when the sun shines. They said, we've got a little difficulty with the rain right now, but we're working on our dance. I tell you, Mr. White doesn't have a lot of rhythm from what I saw. You know, they took credit for every good thing that goes on in this county. And they said, you know, if you'll only give us more, we can accomplish more. Well, what have you accomplished so far? Well, you know, they actually had, surprisingly enough to someone who delves into these records from time to time, they actually had private information from some of the businesses here in Stanislaus County as far as their electrical usage. Now, I promise you, if you or I make that phone call or go down to MID and ask those same questions, they would say, no, there's a law that says we can't reveal that information. But if you're going for $10,000, you know, for a donation, and you go to the water procurer who calls himself Menziger, then you can get that information, private information, which shocked me, quite honestly. He also told us, you know, most organizations like the Alliance are an 80-20 funding proposition. 80% from private, 20% from public. It's not surprising to me, but he honestly admitted, well, this organization's backwards. We're 80% from the public. You know, if MID had gone, they dipped into the taxpayer's pocket three times. And only 20% from private. So that tells me either they don't try to get money from private or private business owners don't believe in what they're trying to do. So I found it interesting, and I'm going to share this because I asked him if I could. During the vote, Larry Bird, Director Bird, said he thought it might be a good organization, and he thought that it was a worthwhile project to go for, but he couldn't see sharing MID ratepayers' money with him. So what he offered to do, he says, I'll make you a contribution out of my own pocket, and I'll make it tomorrow. Well, you know, no offense, a politician's promise a lot of things. And I need to point out that the two individuals on the board that voted for it kept their hands in their pockets and their mics off. Hold me another 10, 15 seconds at the most. So here's people that said, I'll give you ratepayer money, but you can't have mine. And a man who said, you know, I think you're a good organization, so I'm going to give you some out of my own pocket. So he went down the next day and cut a check for $500 and put it on David White's desk. He was out to lunch at the time, but he put it there, right in front, on the blotter, so you couldn't miss it. Now, I can see why the private or the public people can get frustrated like myself, but private organizations, when you cut him a check, it took him almost 3 weeks to respond. I can see why private people don't want to give this organization money. And I would suggest you use your contacts there, some of you being members of the board, to encourage these people to be responsive when somebody's trying to hire somebody. I thank you very much.
Thanks, Emerson. Okay. Any other public comments for which I don't have a card? Very good. Okay, now we will move on to our consent calendar. Anybody have anything on the consent calendar they would like to pull? Being none, do we have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 5-0. Very good. It is now time for our 905 hearing. Consider adjustment of fees. It's a mass exodus. Nobody's interested in fees, it looks like.
Maybe that's good. Good morning,
hi,
Chairman Withrow, board members, CEO Risen, County Council Doring, Jamie Agers, Director of Environmental Resources. Joining me here at the table today is Baronia Ben-Yemen. She's our Hazardous Materials Division Manager. The item before you today is consideration of new and amended existing fees for the Department of Environmental Resources. We have two categories, program categories, where we're recommending new fees, first in our groundwater management program and also in our environmental health program. For our amended existing fees, those cover three areas: environmental health, hazardous materials, and our landfill division. And lastly, with respect to a few fee categories that we are recommending that we delete, those fall into hazardous materials, landfill, and groundwater, and we'll explain why when we get into more detail.
Okay, either I'm passing out or it got really dark in here. Okay, there we go.
I thought maybe popcorn was going to be passed out.
What's the feature?
Okay, so getting into a little bit more detail here. From a big picture standpoint, the new and amended fees fall into two
broad categories. First, fees for the water program to cover the cost of implementing the revised groundwater ordinance. And secondly, modification to existing fees are due to either alignment with regulation, program cost recovery, or consumer price index change. So moving on to our new fees, they fall into four areas, two recommendations each in groundwater and our food program. And as you know, the groundwater ordinance was revised back in November. And the way we approach implementation of the ordinance now is for those applications that fall outside one of the exemption categories, they will be subject to a CEQA review. And as such, we're recommending including the ability to recover the cost of that CEQA consultant review and any associated filing fees. So we would be recovering just our actual costs only for those services. In addition, there will also be county staff time, and that's what we're referring to as an administrative fee, and we would be including the weighted labor rate charge for that. Now, since this is a new area for us, we don't know exactly what it would cost to process an application that fell outside of one of the exemptions. It will depend on whether or not maybe a negative declaration or a mitigated negative declaration is required, all the way up to an EIR. So the range of costs could vary, but what we would do is we would work closely with those customers to keep them appraised. And in the past, in similar projects in the department, we have allowed people to pay an upfront fee that we then sort of work from and then bill them periodically so that they don't generate, you know, this enormous bill that's due at the end. In our food program, we're recommending a health permit replacement fee of $25. We have roughly 2,000 food facilities that we regulate, and a surprising number seem to lose or misplace their fee. And we have the same fee in our tattoo and body art program, so this is consistent with that. What we are planning to do in that program to make certain that everyone actually received their permit is we're going to, regardless of when a permit was issued, they're good for 5 years. But what we're going to do in the 2015 year is we're going to true them all up to expire in 2015 and send out everyone a new 5-year permit at that time. So that way in our database, on the intervening years, whether your new permit was issued in 2016, 17, 18, 19, everyone will get another copy in 2020. So that's how we're planning to make that system work consistently in our database. And lastly, we have about 100 temporary food facility events per year. That's what TFF stands for. And we require that the event organizers of those events turn in their application package at least 2 weeks in advance of the event. We have several that are tardy that come in each year. And so what we're doing here is suggesting a 50% late registration fee as a way to deter applications from coming in late. Moving on to our Employee Housing Act, or Employee Camp Program, that we're required to regulate for the state. We have our current fees are, we have a per camp fee and a per person fee, and our proposed fee rates of $200 per camp and $27 per person are to align with state legislation that was passed a few years ago, which actually established these fees. So we're just benchmarking with that. And then moving on to our hazardous materials fees. First, in the category of underground storage tanks, what we're proposing is to align our fee system with what several of our comparable counties already have in place, and that is a flat rate fee, and we're benchmarking it with what our currently is our lowest category, the $522, but adding to that a per tank fee of $100. And this fee category was last amended back in 2008. Moving on to three other categories within our hazardous materials program that we're also recommending increases for. That is our medical waste program, our farm disclosure program, and then our above-ground storage tank program, which was a new program that we were required to implement starting in 2010. The farm fees have not been increased since the inception, and that was in 1996. So we have a 10% and 2.25% increases recommended. And then moving on to our landfill fees. First, in the category of ash disposal from the waste energy facility, this is tied to the consumer price index each year, and this year, based on that formula, the price is going down 10 cents per ton. Moving on to first, mattresses and box springs. The current fee includes just those two types for an $8 each fee, and we're recommending that we modify the category to include futons and increase that fee to $10. We historically used to be able to tap into a fair amount of alternative work program labor to assist us with the loading of these mattresses, but we're unable to get much help in that way today, and so it's requiring more labor in-house, and that's increasing the cost to us. And in the category of dead horses, we are recommending expanding that category to include a few other large animals, llamas, mules, or donkeys. Amazingly, we do see them at the landfill. And we're recommending to basically double the fee from $50 to $100. They do require a lot of special handling, so it takes extra labor, and we've had labor increase costs as well as fuel costs. Moving on to tire fees. Basically, we're recommending increasing our tire fees across the board. We have not increased our passenger and motorcycle type tires since 2001, and we hesitate to do that, but our vendor costs have risen substantially recently. So these recommended fees are simply to recover our costs, our actual costs. So the smallest fee category would increase from $1 each to $2.50. Diesel truck tires from $6.50 to $15. Tractor tires from $10 each to $25. Loader tires would go from $50 each to $110. Earth mover tires from $100 to $225. And our bulk tire cost of $10 or more would be $100 per ton now, going to $225 per ton. And with respect to our fee categories that we're recommending deleting, first is a limited quantity hauling exemption fee that we've had in our medical waste fee structure. And we're recommending eliminating this because there's been a change in state law that now gives a small quantity haulers an exemption. They no longer need a permit from us, so we don't need to have a fee category for that permit. And also in our groundwater program, we need to simply align the appeal fees with the new title of our groundwater ordinance, since it's no longer called the Mining and Export Prevention Ordinance, and it's now called the Groundwater Ordinance. We're simply making that change to align with the revised ordinance. In the category, in the landfill fee category, we're recommending eliminating the 90-day temporary price rollback that was implemented last year. That was something we did as an experiment to see whether it would generate additional waste, and it didn't, so we allowed it to expire, and we're recommending deleting it from the fee category, from the fee structure. I mentioned earlier the mattress and box springs category. We're deleting that so that we can change the category to add futons. And similarly, with both the hard-to-handle and dead horses categories, the prior categories were different, and we've changed those descriptions now, so we're deleting the old category to align with the newly recommended category. Our stakeholder meetings were conducted on March 17th, and overall, the attendance was limited, but overall the feedback from participants was positive. There were no no concerns that were brought to our attention that caused us to make any changes in what was recommended. Our public notices for the workshops were printed in the Modesto Bee on March 14th and 15th and placed on the department's website on March 17th. So the staff recommendation is to introduce and waive the first reading of an ordinance to establish new and amended existing fees for the Department of Environmental Resources. If approved, the fees will be effective on June 18th, with the exception of the landfill fees, which would be effective July 1st. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Very good. Any questions of Jamie from the board? Supervisor O'Brien.
Yeah, just want to clarify, and I know we've talked about this already, the temporary food facility fee. There was some miscommunication on that thought that if the event sponsor put in their application prior to 2 weeks but added a vendor at the last minute, that then that would cause the penalty to occur the entire event. And I think I just want to make sure that's clear for the record, that as long as that the community sponsor gets that application in on time, there's no penalty.
That is correct.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good. Any other questions of Jamie? Supervisor DeMartini.
I have one. The waste tire fees have more than doubled, and most of your fees just went up a modest amount. What is the reason that the fee would have to be doubled?
The tire fees have risen to us considerably. I think we had the percentage quoted in the staff report, 225% increase,
yeah.
Yes. Really what's happened is the vendor that we have used for many, many years got a little sideways with the state and their permit and how many tires they were allowed to have on site because they're a processing facility. And so they are not able to take the tires as readily as they were able to. And because of that, they have, for whatever reason, they've raised their fees substantially. So we contacted another vendor and who's able to take the tires for us, but their fees are considerably higher too. So yes, it's a huge increase, but it's basically a pass-through cost.
And the net result of that is they're going to be dumped along the side of the roads.
Correct, and they already are.
Yeah, it's going to be worse now.
It may very well get worse.
Okay, any other questions? Very good, I will now open the public hearing. Do we have any comments from the public? We do not. We will now close the public hearing and bring this back to the board. Any further comments from anyone?
Move to approve all staff recommendations.
So a motion approved. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Passes 5-0. Thanks, Jamie. Next up, David Lehman, Matt Machado.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman,
morning,
supervisors,
guys.
Mr. Risen, Mr. Doring, Matt Machado, Director of Public Works, and I'm with Dave Lehman this morning. Dave is our deputy director, and he manages our one-stop shop, and that's where most of these fees fall. So Dave has a presentation for us this morning, and I'll turn it to Dave.
Good morning. Thank
good morning,
you.
Dave.
This morning, we're asking the board to consider and approve couple new fees and modifying some existing fees. Our previous fees increase was in 2013. We try to keep these up to date, and we compared our fees to other counties up and down the valley, and our proposed fees are also based on actual cost. The proposed engineering fees were asking for the based permit fee includes costs for admin, floodplain analysis, and GIS updates. We have a flat rate of $190 for routine inspections. That would be like driveways and different things that homeowners tend to do. And then we have hourly rates for construction inspection. We're asking for a $20 increase in our base permit for excavation and construction permits to help recover stormwater costs. And we're asking for a $10 increase in staff time for plan check engineers. And then we are recommending that the $95 per hour remain the same for field inspector time. One of the new things we're asking for is a fee to recover staff time for pipeline maintenance agreements. Prior to the drought, we processed, staff tells me, one or two per year. Basically, what a pipeline maintenance agreement allows a private property owner to cross the county right-of-way, and in perpetuity, that agreement runs with the property, and the property owner is responsible for the maintenance of that pipe. Since the drought, we've gotten about 30 per year because people are tying in their wells. A lot of guys own property on both sides of a road, and they're asking to tie their irrigation systems together because irrigation water from the districts is non-existent. And so we've done about 30 of these, and the pipeline maintenance agreements, we have to go to the clerk recorder, we have to check property documents, and so it takes us about 3 hours to process a pipeline maintenance agreement, and the $285 recommended fee is 3 hours of our staff time. Another new fee we're requesting is traffic delay notifications. These go to your office as well as fire departments, local law enforcement, school districts, and every time we do one, there's a different list for that area, so it takes admin a bit of time to fax these. We wind up faxing them because we don't have email addresses for everyone, and so it takes about 2 hours per traffic delay notification. And there were, we did 46 of these that were encroachment permit related, and we're asking for a flat fee of $190. And we did outreach to local contractors and engineers. We sent these proposed fee increases, and we could receive no comments. And our recommendation is to establish the new fees and amend the existing fees for public works.
I would add that these fees would be effective July 1, and with that, turn it back to you for any questions that you may have.
Very good. Thank you, guys. Any questions from the board? No questions. I will now open the public hearing. Any questions from the public? Okay, we will close the public hearing and bring it back to the board. I'm just going to throw in there, I know we say this all the time, but we have all had briefings on all these fees and discussed everything before with staff, so it seems like we're just sitting here approving fees, but we have actually had a lot of conversations about this and discussed it. Individual meetings are had with each one of the board members on these things, so just for what that's worth. Okay, bring it back for comment or motion.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
A second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next up, Angela Freitas, planning.
Good morning, Chairman Withrow, members of the board, Mr. Rising and Mr. Doring. Angela Freitas, Planning Director. Planning Department's here this morning to present an amendment to existing fees relating to surface mining. The Planning Department serves as the lead agency for ensuring compliance with the Surface Mining and Reclamation Act, commonly referred to as SMARA, which includes the requirement to inspect all permitted surface mines at least once per year. For compliance with the adopted reclamation plans. With me this morning to present the proposed fee amendment is Angelica Ramos, the department's business manager.
Good morning. I will take us to the rest of the presentation on the fee proposals. So to give you a little bit of background, the proposal today applies to two of our existing fees exclusively related to our mines. The why is these are necessary to cover rising costs of SMARA lead agency responsibilities. These include both staff costs as well as vendor costs. The other piece of information was we conducted a request for qualifications back in October of 2014. Based on the information we received through that RFQ, we could tell that we would be facing significant cost increases into the future. We received three bids, and two of those actually qualified or met county vendor requirements. So currently, we charge a mine inspection fee, a flat fee, to our miners of $783, and that fee is intended to recoup all costs. We also charge a reinspection fee of $222 as a minimum. That is a deposit. Any time spent over 3 hours, we charge at $72 an hour. The proposal, having reviewed costs and the proposals received in the RFQ, would be to change our mine inspection fee to a $2,000 deposit. It would no longer be a flat fee, it would be a deposit. Our reinspection fee we would raise to a deposit amount of $755. The intent would be that as all work is completed, costs would be reviewed, and any balance that was due either to the vendor or from the vendor, we would, once all work is completed, we would invoice to the appropriate mining entity. The estimated total cost, just to kind of get a snapshot from the proposals we received, the base mine inspection plus all associated costs related to it would run anywhere from $2,000 up to $5,110, depending on the complexity of the inspections, the size of the mines, and the vendor that we work with. The average vendor cost just for the mines, one vendor's average cost just for the base mine inspection was $657, while the other averaged $3,542. And again, our reinspection at $755 would be a new cost for our miners. Any excess collected from the deposit would be refunded to the miners at the conclusion of all mine inspection work. Staff recommendations today are that we conduct this public hearing to introduce and waive the first reading of an ordinance to amend existing fees for the Department of Planning and Community Development. At this time, if you have any questions, we're available for those.
Very good. Any questions of staff from the board? No questions from the board. We will open the public hearing. Any comments from the public? We will close the public hearing, bring it back to the board. For a motion, any further comments?
Well, it just seems like a steep increase, but since it's based on actual cost, I don't know how fair that is. So I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion approved. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Very good. Okay, we will move on to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the State of California Department of Veterans Affairs regarding funding received for veterans through Stanislaus County Veterans Services Agency from July 1st, 2013 through June 30th, 2014.
Refer to the Area Agency on Aging Veteran Services.
This board has received a letter from the Stanislaus County Agricultural Advisory Board requesting the Board of Supervisors to consider support of the local water districts by expressing concern of the implementation of unimpaired water flows in excess of 35%.
Refer to the Chief Executive Office and the Department of Environmental Resources. Very good. Any Board of Supervisors reports? Yeah, I was. Okay. I will. Yesterday I attended the Veterans Advisory Council, and they had a presentation there that we did, and Supervisor Chiesa would have been there if he could, but he was down in Southern California dealing with water issues. And it was for Herb Miller was his name, and he was 100 years old. It was a celebration of his birthday, 100 years old, and he was a World War II veteran, and he was at Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941. And just, anyway, neat guy and very kind of inspirational, very emotional, actually, talking with this guy that he We didn't have a whole lot of conversation. Again, he's 100 years old, but he could, he was very aware of what was going on, could hear it very well, and just kind of a neat thing to be there and to see this individual part of the greatest generation and what he did in his life. The different aircraft carriers that he served on and the things he did during the war were amazing. So anyway, it was I got a lot out of it. It was a neat experience for me to be there with him, and I appreciate that I was able to step in. Yeah. Any other reports? Okay, legislative, fiscal, and management report.
I was just going to mention under correspondence you had the letter from the County Agricultural Advisory Board regarding unimpaired flows, and wanted you to be aware that this board has previously taken action to oppose any increase in unimpaired flows, and you last week when you approved the ledge platform, it was part of the legislative platform as well. So staff will prepare a letter to go back to the Ag Advisory Board for the chair's signature, sharing what actions you've already taken as a board.
Forget, I don't know, Vita, do you want to talk anything about what happened yesterday or just where you were, what you were involved
okay.
in? Sorry.
Sorry. Yeah. Yesterday I traveled down to USC, and there was the
It's the USC Price College, our Public Policy College, and it's the Schwarzenegger Institute. I sat on one of the panels with Felicia Marcus, who's the chair of the State Water Board, who is going to be one of those people voting on the unimpaired flows, Tim Quinn from Aqua, and then also the general manager from Los Angeles Power and Water. And there were different panels, but it was a great dialogue, again, with a lot of students that are dealing with public policy. What I found interesting is most of the folks buy into the, ag is water wasters, and we can afford to give up some water. And after the discussion was done, not just because of me, but because of the totality of all the people that were on the panel, the realization that ag is an important part, especially in our county and the Central Valley, it's such an important part of our economy. So great opportunity. CSAC allowed me this great opportunity, but it was good to have private time with Felicia and some of these other folks just to discuss the impacts of unimpaired flows to our community.
Very good. Thank you. I mean, it shows how much ag communication. My daughter is going to ag communications major at Cal Poly, a new program they started there just for that, just trying to get the message out there. So we also went up to Sacramento, and myself and Keith Boggs and Walt Ward dealing on water issues too, and met with in the governor's office, Department of Water Resources, and several other people, and were also a part of the hearing that took place yesterday. So we thought that was very productive. We thought we made some good headway in our meetings earlier in the day. So very good. If there's nothing else, then this meeting is adjourned.
That's